through when I look around and see where I've been. You've been a friend. Glory,
honor,
honor,
exaltation,
power,
blessing,
and worship, worship, love without end. worship you I live. To worship you I live. I live to worship you.
To worship you. We got time. Somebody begin to magnify the Lord Jesus tonight. Come on, do it right now. He's here. He's here to minister. This is your time right now. Don't think that we have to go on to the next stage. The Lord is here right now to minister. You would just reach out to him. Hallelujah. Draw nigh unto the Lord. And he'll draw nigh unto you. Glory to God. He's here right now. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Isn't he sweet? Isn't he a great God? Don't you love him tonight? Hallelujah. Well, God is so very good to us. We've already had a lot of Holy Ghost and a lot of outpouring and a lot of goodness in this service tonight. I want to thank whoever dropped this information sheet off for me. It is something I had in my notes this morning but didn't get to. It's the merging of VeriChip and Positive ID. You can pull it up on their website, and it's full of happy people. Smiling, handsome, happy people. We're talking about putting a chip under your skin so it can track you and know where you are. It's a wonderful thing for little children. You can't lose them anymore. And for old people that don't just wander off and get lost. And it's a great idea. Digital Angel is another company that does the same thing. You can have it done for your vet, at your vet, for your puppy dog. And see, you could have that done for Chloe. Or you could have it done for Brother Roderick. I guarantee you the vet would be cheaper. And in case you don't know what that's about, for a long, long time, the church has talked about the mark of the beast. And it was a little bit of wonder about how that would be accomplished. But now the technology is in place and it's actually being used to number and to track and to identify people. And you can almost go to the bank on the fact that the National ID card program will merge into a digitized chip program. When we go to Europe, they're always amazed that my credit cards don't have chips in them, because all of theirs does, and they've got to do mine old school. But I'll just tell you this, the first generation of the chip is probably not the mark of the beast. But I've already drawn a line in my mind. And it's like, they'll just have to deal with my driver's license or my social security card or my testimony, or I'll write it on my hand for them. But I've already decided I'm not going to take a mark. And when we study the Antichrist 2 Sunday mornings from now, you'll know why. Because there are terrible, terrible things in store for everybody that takes the mark. The only thing that'll happen to you if you don't take it is that you'll get your head cut off. No big deal. I'm talking about bad things for those that do take the mark. You say it's worse than getting your head cut. Oh yeah, infinitely worse than that. Tell your neighbor, I'm not afraid to have my head cut off. I'll go first. You say, well, Brother Sutton, is that going to happen here? You know what? A lot of the prophecy is localized. A lot of the prophecy is going to happen in the Middle East. Some of it may not even reach us here. But you better cross that line in your mind and in your will before we ever get there. There's a wonderful story in the Word of God about three Hebrew children that stood and they would not bow when everybody in that kingdom was bowing. And God stood with them. But you better cross that line already and say, if it cost me my life, then we will be another generation that stood and said, I'd rather die with God than live in a world that was worshiping foolishness. Well, I'm excited. Be sure to get a flyer. There'll be more of them out for Wednesday, but invite some people. We're going to spend a little time tonight in the latter part of Matthew chapter 24 and then chapter 25. There are three parables in Matthew 25 that have to do with the coming of the Lord. And the latter part of Matthew 24 sets that up. And he identifies three things that are extremely important to him in these parables. Don't know how far we'll get with this tonight, but I already feel just such a wonderful depth of the Spirit of God flowing in this house right now. We've already broken through the threshold of worship and outpouring and goodness and strength. And the Holy Ghost is here to minister to you in every need in your life and at every level. Somebody say amen. Matthew chapter 24, and let's begin in verse 36. The 24th chapter is about the coming of the Lord, the end of the age, and the end of the world. In verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, it's the Old Testament character Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not. We talked this morning about the delusion that is here. How is it that people are blind to the signs that are all around them? There is already a spiritual delusion that has set into our world. And they are already marching to the beat and to the calling of the Antichrist system. And in the church, if we do anything else, if you feel like you don't fit in, that's good. And if you feel like a square peg in a round hole, that's good. Because they are marching on their way into hell. And your best hope is to be tied up and tangled up in the church and in the message of the Word of God. But as it was in the days of Noah, they didn't know till the flood came and took them all away. That's how it's going to be in the day of the coming of the Lord. Verse 40, then two will be in the field, the one will be taken, the other left. You're going to be shoulder to shoulder working with somebody. Or going to school with somebody. You're going to be eating the same kind of food, driving through the same type of street system, driving and eating and walking and working and all of the things that life is made of. And you're going to be shoulder to shoulder. But there's a difference. Something has gone off in your life. The kingdom of God has broken in to the natural, historical, chronological flow. And you are no longer as you were before. I gave Brother Kevin a scripture during prayer tonight and went over to him and I gave him 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are made new. Behold, all those old things are passed away. Is anybody glad for the change that God has wrought in your life? Hallelujah. Two in the field, one will be taken. I just want to know, do you want to be the one that's left or the one that's taken? My God, how many of you want to go when he comes? I won't ask you how many of you'd like to go tonight. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left, side by side, shoulder to shoulder. It's not going to be physical proximity. It won't matter where you are. What'll matter is what's down on the inside of you. Have you been born again and are you right in covenant with God? Praise God. Verse 42, everybody say, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love him, clap your hands to him and bless his name. And give him thanks and give him praise and magnify him. What a good God. How awesome are you, oh God. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure is laid up. Come on. Somewhere beyond the blue. Ah, do you believe that old song? Is that real in your life? I want you to go to school. I want you to work hard. I want you to make all the money you can, get all the education you can, build great things and achieve great dreams. But don't let anything here get between you and your vision of what God has called you to become. Because there's coming a day, and we'll deal with it next Sunday morning, but there's coming a day when the trump is going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise up, and we're going to get out of this place. And if you think what you have here or what you've built here or what you own here is really yours, the only thing you really own here, and that but for a little while, is a little patch of ground over a hole they dig that's supposed to be 6 foot deep. What you have, someone had before. And what you have, someone will have after you if God tarries. Do not let those things get between you and the precious gifts of family and covenant that God has given you. Well, praise God. So let's look at Matthew chapter 25, and we'll go as far as we can. We're in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took in their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, these parables, and if you have Bible study, if you haven't had a Bible study, you are not a qualified or certified parable translator. But if you had Bible study, you glide into these parables with great ease. And you see, the kingdom of God is like these 10 virgins. And five of them are wise and five of them are foolish. And the wise ones have oil. And you know, if you're a Bible study student, that oil is a type of the Holy Ghost all throughout the Word of God. It is the anointing of God on the prophet and on the king. And now in the New Testament, the oil of the Holy Ghost is on you. And it is God's anointing. And all of these that are part of the bride have the oil. They are ready. The bridegroom is Christ. And the bride is the church. And they are ready for his coming in this cultural setting. And we won't spend any time there. But there's a long period of time between the engagement, the betrothal, and the actual arrival of the bride to come and to pick up that young lady to be the bride. But in this instance, we're just going to work with the skinny on this parable. The oil is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And five of them have it. And as they sleep while the bridegroom is away, knowing that he's coming back, five of them continue to have oil and five of them do not. Suddenly at midnight there is a cry that says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And it is the cry of prophecy. Jesus is coming. It is the cry of the Word of God in the mouth of the ancients. God, the day of the Lord is upon us. He's coming. And so when they hear the cry, they stand and they all begin to ready themselves and trim their lamps and prepare themselves. But the five foolish notice they don't have any oil. And they ask of the wise, "Please give us some of your oil." But the response is negative. "No, we can't give you any. We wouldn't have enough for ourselves. Go to where they sell and buy some there." And as they went to buy oil or rectify their lack, or to get up to speed, or to make themselves right, the bridegroom came, and he took the five wise with oil, and he took them into the chamber, and he closed the door. Everybody said he closed the door. It's like the day of Noah. There was an ark, and the ark had an open door, and it was there for 100 years, and anybody could have gotten in. And the church is here, and the door is open, and anybody can get in. But there's going to come a day, like it was for Noah, that God closed the door on the ark, and then nobody can get in, no matter how wonderful your mama thinks you are. And no matter how you cry unto him for mercy, the five foolish came and they began to pound on the chamber door. And they said, "Let us in, Lord, let us in." He said, "I don't know you. I don't know you." Praise God. And There's no place as devastating in the scripture as the end of these types of parables, because almost all of them end in a sequence something like this. Take them, bind them hand and foot, cast them into outer darkness, or take them and put them where that everlasting fire is that was prepared for the devil and his angels. All of these parables end in tremendous victory and in tremendous loss. They end in salvation or damnation. There is no middle ground. There is no neutral place in this. There is no safe place to stand if you're not standing in the covenant of God. This parable is about the Holy Ghost. These three parables are identifying three things that he believes that are essential for you, that are important to you, something that you need to sit up and take note of. And the first one is the oil. Everybody say the oil. Touch your neighbor and say, that's the Holy Ghost. My God, can I tell you, we are way too late in the dispensation to have dead, dull, dry church without a moving of God. Can I tell you that this is way too late in the time of God's word for us to have prayer meetings without a moving of the Spirit of God? I don't need to walk on the job without first walking into a place of anointing. I don't need to walk in my school without first walking into a place of anointing. I need Holy Ghost every day. Somebody say Holy Ghost. How many of you have been filled with the Holy Ghost? But how many of you got filled again? Praise God. The word born again is a continuative. It means you continually get born again. You don't just get the Holy Ghost speaking tongues and 20 years later somebody asks you about it and you say, well, I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. I spoke in tongues back then. No. Paul said, I thank my God I talk in tongues more than all of you. My God, the word of God is very clear. You need to talk in tongues at church. You need to talk in tongues at home. You need to talk in tongues while you're driving down the road. You need to talk in tongues at school. We need more Holy Ghost. Somebody say praise the Lord. Shake your neighbor and say, more Holy Ghost. More oil. Come on, touch somebody and tell them Jesus is coming. I got to have oil. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to be found without the oil of the Holy Ghost. My God. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray in my understanding. I want to tell you, you can tank up on the Holy Ghost anytime you want. It's already been poured out. It's already given. But life takes Holy Ghost. As you press your way through the rigors of life, it saps your spiritual strength. That's why you've got to pray through. The old timers used to ask us, have you prayed through? Do you have the victory? What they meant was, though, are you full of oil? Have you gotten it filled up? What are you doing at church? You've been doing this a long time. Don't you get seniority? Don't you get tenure? No. I need the Holy Ghost more right now than I've ever needed it in all my life. I need more Holy Ghost. I need a moving of His Spirit. I need Him to touch my mind and to touch my heart and to get in my life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody just shout right now. Just shout right now. Just have yourself a shout right now. Holy Ghost. I feel it in my hands. I feel it in my feet. I feel it in my heart. I feel it all over me. Holy Ghost. There's nothing like it. I've been drunk, but there's nothing like the Holy Ghost. I've been stoned, but there's nothing like the Holy Ghost. I've been in love. I am in love. But there's nothing like the Holy Ghost. Martin? Are you in love? A little bit, a whole lot? A lot. I am very cool. I am in love a lot. Su nombre es Katie. Mi novia. Mi amor is Katie. Is that right? Yeah. Hush, David. This is a major part of your life. And she's on your mind a lot. That's right. She's a man of few words. But Katie can't take you to heaven. Katie can't cleanse your sins. Katie can't lift you up when you're falling down into a pit of depression or discouragement. Praise God. Everything in its place. I got a great love in my life, but I've got to have something that is preeminent over everything in my life. I've got to love this Holy Ghost experience. You know what? I've been doing this a long time, but I love it more right now. My God, when we were celebrating these kids tonight, my head is about to explode. I love this more right now than I've ever loved it before. Shake somebody and tell them, I love this Holy Ghost. Come on, I love being in the house of God. I love it when they're worshiping. I love it when they're singing. I love it when they're praising God. I love it when they're talking in tongues. I love the Holy Ghost. I noticed something. I noticed when we try to run now, we're having traffic jams. Okay, guys, paradigm shift. When you feel that and you want to express that, I want you to take command of this area. And I just want you to dance and shout and take command of this. All right? Okay? Let's do that for a while. If you're back there, you've got an area. You've got an aisle. You've got the back. You've got this aisle. You've got the front here. You've got an area here. Paradigm shift. All right? Because we're getting too... This is a bottleneck over here. You wind up going... But I want you to be able to dance before the Lord with all your might. I don't want you to get stuck in traffic. So, let's do this again. I love church. I love Sunday night. I love the house of God. I love Wednesday night Bible study. I love the witness. I love the testimony. I love seeing God fill new people with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it. New paradigm. That means that you can worship in here without fear of being steamrolled. So just take this over. And if you catch them coming out of the corner of your eye, just go. Praise God. Do you love this? Do you love this? You can't do this if you don't love this. And while you're waiting on him to come, you get busy on the job. And you get busy with the stuff. And you get busy with the toys. And you get busy with the money. And you get busy with the worry. And you get busy with all the things that make up the minutia of life. And it's been a few days since you've been in that secret place. And it's been a week. And you have learned to live without prayer. And you are an apostolic in name. And he said they came. And they begin to pound on the door. You've got to let us in. We're part of the bride. You've got to let us in. He said, I don't know you. You've been so long out of his presence. You've been so long without an outpouring. You've been so long removed from that intimacy. Which is what this is. This is not about religion. This is about intimacy in relationship This is about you waking up and saying hello to Jesus, just like you say hello to everybody in your family. This is about you walking along, sharing your heart with Him and your dreams with Him, and not being involved with anything that you would be ashamed to talk to Him about, because that's what happens to you. You start touching things that are not like Him, and then you don't want to spend time with Him. There's going to come a day when you're going to want some time with Him. David said, I hate those things. It's because he loved the presence of God. If I can't take it into the presence of God, I don't want it in my life. If I can't handle it in a place where my intimacy is strong with God, I don't want it in my life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. This is amazing. They're a part of the bride, but they've drifted and they've gotten cold. And now he's come back. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The old song says everybody's going to pray on the very last day. Everybody, Sister Riggs, everybody's going to want to pray then. Everybody's going to be knocking on the door of Noah's ark to let them in. But Noah can't open the door. Everybody's going to be knocking on the church door. But I can't close this. I can't open this once he's closed it. I can't change the will and the plan of God. You've got to come now. You've got to come while it's open. You've got to come while he's ready. My God, we are working on something here tonight. For the lukewarm, it is a day to get yourself set on fire. He's going to baptize you with the and the Holy Ghost and my God, if you've lost your fire, you need to get back down in this altar and find it. I told Brother Kevin this morning, this altar belongs to you, my friend. You may be new to this house, but this altar belongs to you. This God belongs to you. This experience belongs to you. Everything that goes forth in this house is just as much yours. And you've only been here a few days. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You need to come down. You need to shake off those things. When Samson wanted to do battle and he had been encumbered with all kinds of things, the Bible said, and so significantly, that he shook himself and the Holy Ghost would come upon him. Shook himself. My God, sometimes you got to shake yourself free of all the encumbrances and the things that are seeking to blind you and deafen you and mute your voice and still your heart. The culture around you and the mediums by which it communicates are access ways into your spirit. Handle them with care. Handle them with care. Be careful about entertainment. Be careful about what the world loves. Be careful about their celebrities and their idols and their heroes and their stars. Be careful about that. Because if nothing else, it's a diversion into things that are shiny and new. Before it's over, you'll be like the Jews being influenced by the Philistines to the point that God doesn't know them anymore. My God. Apostolic people. You know what? People say this. They say, you folks, all y'all do is go to church. Like, no, we eat. And we fellowship. And we enjoy life. And we are model students and we are good workers. We are examples in every place we walk. And if you're not, shame on you. Because you are representing the kingdom of God. Praise God. But there's going to come a day when all of the things they love will not save them, will not rescue them, will not deliver them. And they're going to come and knock on the door and won't end. Friend of mine, this is a day to be in the house. This is a day to be aligned with God and full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, help them. I can see the way this is shaping up. I can't go into three parables. We'd be here till 10:30. Yeah, you're smiling and shaking your head, but you don't mean it. You don't. No, you don't. I want you to link up with somebody. Let's stand together. Link up with somebody right by you. And I want you to lay your hands on them. Don't hold hands. I want you to lay your hands on them. Because the laying on of hands is the communication of the Spirit of God. I want you to lay your hands on one another. And I want you to pray. Get in there close. You might want to hug up. If you don't know these people, it's a bit awkward, but I want you to let Holy Ghost flow from vessel to vessel. I want you to let anointing flow from heart to heart. Hallelujah. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Let that heavenly language flow.
We love you.
with somebody.